Testing 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, everyone. Just a notice that we'll be starting in a few minutes as people are beginning to log into the Adobe Connect room. We'll be starting our webinar in a few minutes. Thank you. Okay, we'll be starting in a moment. Greetings and welcome to everyone. I want to thank you for joining our pre-ICANN 57 policy update webinar on the 20th of October, 2016. My name is David Olive. I'm Senior Vice President of the Policy Development Support Team and moderating this webinar from our office hub in Istanbul, where I'm also General Manager of our regional office here. It is great pleasure that I can have our policy team present the hard work and efforts that all of you have been involved with in the various policy and advice development. And as you know, the policy and advice work relating to the technical coordination functions are formed and refined by the various supporting organizations, the three supporting organizations, and influenced by our four advisory committees in a bottom-up, multi-stakeholder, open and transparent process. ICANN's consensus process can be a long series of discussions and debates, and I also like to point out the activity metrics that we have here for the first quarter, which shows the extensive work you, the community, have been doing for the various policy advice development and other parts of ICANN activities. Some of this, of course, relating to finalizing the transition requirements, but much of it in preparation for Hyderabad and the ongoing working groups dealing with policy and advice development at ICANN. So this is a tribute to you, to your many hours and efforts. And we thank you for that, and this webinar is presenting your work. The policy development team is now 31 people supporting the supporting organizations and advisory councils. There are subject matter experts and support services. We are in five time zones across nine countries and in 14 languages. And so this is our privilege to be able to serve you in the work that you are doing for ICANN's policy and advice development. In terms of the format for Hyderabad, this is part of the new meeting strategy format, the annual general meeting. And there are some components that are different from some of the other meetings held this year. One, it is a seven-day meeting, one of the longer meetings we've had. It's going to focus on ICANN's work for the global community. There'll be eight high-interest topics involved. Of course, an official opening ceremony on the Saturday, two public forums, and many sessions to allow community work discussions and collaboration. And so to that extent, it is going to be a very busy meeting. In addition, because it's an annual general meeting, many of the supporting organizations and advisory committee groups are electing their leadership officials to serve for the next terms. And that'll also be the case where new board members will become official at the meeting in Hyderabad, and some will be departing, obviously, as their terms have expired. So if you are a regular ICANN participant or an occasional one or a newcomer, please join us in contributing to the evolving policy and advice processes, as well as the history of the Internet as we are linked to it in our ICANN 57 meeting in Hyderabad. With that, I'd like to turn it over to the policy team to talk about the specific details. And, of course, the other issues for you will be this will be recorded for your convenience so you can go back to it and refer to it if needed. We will have questions either in the chat as we're going through this or, again, at the end of the session, you can ask questions. Here is an example of one of some of the 8 high-interest topics that were selected by the community leaders for ongoing discussions in Hyderabad, some of which are related to efforts in the policy development process, such as who is and domain name systems and regulations. Others, like internet governance and public interest, will be ongoing discussions of interest to all. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Benedetta Rossi, who will talk about some of the community engagement updates. Benedetta, the floor is yours.
Thank you, David. My name is Benedetta Rossi, Policy and Community Engagement Analyst. I'd like to provide a quick update regarding community governance documents. So the Policy Development Support Team is available to support interested community groups within each supporting organization or advisory committee with their governance documents. The types of services staff can provide vary depending on the requirements of interested groups, but can include the following types of services: facilitation of drafting of charters within the charter amendment process, or broader governance document updates, facilitation of the drafting team meetings, providing input as necessary throughout the governance document amendment process, and liaising with the community in preparation for the ICANN's board review process prior to the public comments process within the charter amendment review procedure. The community engagement team has supported various governance documents updates or drafting efforts. Most recently, the team has concluded supporting 2 different groups and is continuing work within 2 additional community groups. If you're interested in this support process or have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to the team using the email address that you can see here on the slide, which is policyinfo@icann.org, or contacting us directly. I'll now turn it over to my colleague, Carlos Reyes, for a team's update on the public comment process. Thank you, and over to you, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Benedetta, and hello, everyone. As Benedetta mentioned, we are part of the community engagement team on the policy development support team, essentially overseeing projects that impact the broad ICANN policy development community. One of the areas that we've been focusing on over the past few years is streamlining community recognition at ICANN. Of course, ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model only succeed because of the commitment and contributions from our community, and we want to recognize that. Part of that includes, like as I mentioned, a full year worth of programming. This includes the annual general meeting recognition program, which will take place in a few weeks in Hyderabad. This also includes the Leadership Award, which is an award selected by the executive team, and the Multi-Stakeholder Ethos Award, which you may be familiar with, a community-driven effort, that's something that takes place at the policy forum meetings every year. With that, I will go ahead and transition our update into our supporting organizations and advisory committees, and I'll begin first with the ASO, the Address Supporting Organization. As most of you are aware, the ASO is comprised of the Address Council, which oversees and manages the global policy development process. There are different mechanisms for selecting the members, but there are 15 members from 15 members, 3 from each region. The Address Council recently welcomed 2 new members, Kevin Blumberg from the Aran region, which is the North American region, and Brajesh Jain from the APNIC region. There are currently no global policy proposals within the ICANN policy development community. The Address Council is only charged with managing and overseeing policy development for global policies, and that means policies that require input or action from IANA at the global level. But some examples of global policies that have been developed and approved by the ASO Address Council include post-exhaustion IPv4 allocation mechanisms and allocation of IPv6 blocks. Along those same lines, regional policy development continues. There's a robust activity at the regional level, largely along the same 2 tracks, internet number resource transfer policies. This is largely dedicated to IPv4 blocks, remaining IPv4 blocks, and autonomous system numbers, and also IPv6 allocation policies. Most of the regional policy development takes place at RIR meetings. In the past few weeks, we've seen LACNIC 26 in Costa Rica, APNIC 42 in Colombo, Sri Lanka, and I am actually currently in Dallas, Texas for the ARIN meeting, which is taking place this week. And the next RIPE meeting is in Spain next week. Some two quick updates to note from the numbering community. As part of the IANA stewardship transition, the service level agreement is now in effect between ICANN and the RIRs, and that has also triggered the creation of the IANA Numbering Services Review Committee. So the numbering community has been very much engaged in the IANA stewardship process. And with that, I'll hand it over to my colleague Bart Wazwinkel for an update from the CCNSO.
Thank you, Carlos. I want to inform you about the country code name supporting normalization, as Carlos already mentioned, and the CCNSO-related meetings in Hyderabad, and highlight some of the CCNSO activities that drive the meetings agenda for the CCTLD community and others in Hyderabad. But I like to mention that the CCNSO meeting is limited to 4 days. It starts on Friday and the 4th of November and will end Monday the 7th with the CCNSO council meeting. Friday will be working group meetings and the rest will be around Tech Day and CCNSO meetings day. But I'll touch upon these topics in a minute. The CCNSO meeting and working group activities are not limited to policy and policy-related work, as you can see from this brief overview. I will highlight what I think are the most interesting topics for you and the CCNSO community will discuss at their Hyderabad meeting. One caveat, what is not included in this overview, but definitely of interest to the CCTLD community in Hyderabad, are the discussions around the CWG or CCWG accountability, and specifically Workstream 2, and also the CCWG principles, and more importantly, the country and territory names cross-community working groups. The latter two will be alluded to later on during this presentation. Now, looking at the different policy and policy-related work and some of the others, now, first and foremost is the third CCNSO policy development process. There will be a presentation of the issue report and a discussion with among the community, and a decision is expected by the council whether or not to initiate it. The second one is around what is called the expanded panel similarity review process. There is a working group that was created in response to a board request to provide guidance on how to deal with so-called split findings of this extended process panel. The working group has published a revised set of guidelines for public comment and received a limited number of them, but they include a comment from ALAC, ASAC, and the GAC. And the interesting is that these comments are divergent. So one way or the other, the working group has steered among these divergent comments and submitted its final report to the council, which will be decided upon it at the Hyderabad meeting or at their Hyderabad meeting. The IANA stewardship and accountability specific sessions deal with the implementation of aspects of the new ICANN post-transition. There is a CCNSO working group, Guideline Review Committee, it's called, which updates and develops new and internal procedures and processes for ICANN to meet the requirements of the new bylaws. And this group will present their work during these two sessions. Looking at the 4 days, the CCNSO meeting from another perspective is we will have, as usual, a day full of working groups. That will be the Friday. The second day, and which is probably one of the more established outreach efforts, is Tech Day on Saturday, and the agenda is available there as well, as you can see. And then the CCNSO meetings days, which will be held on Sunday and Monday, and the CCNSO Council meeting will be on Monday afternoon, starting at 5. And with this, I want to hand over to my colleague, Marika, to inform you about the GNSO activities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bart. And hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Marika Konings. I'm a senior policy director and team leader for the generic name supporting organization, and I'm based in San Jose, Costa Rica, where it's still nice and dark. Together with my colleagues, we support the generic name supporting organization in its policy development activities. As you can see on this slide, there are numerous projects underway in the GNSO, including 11 policy development processes, or PDPs, at the various stages of the PDP lifecycle. As we only have a limited time today, we'll not be able to cover each and every project, but we focused our update on those topics that you can expect to be discussed during ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. In addition to this presentation, I would also like to encourage you to review the GNSO policy briefings, which will be published shortly on the GNSO website, which will provide you with additional details on each of these topics. The first topic we'll cover is the next generation GTLD registration directory services to replace WHOIS policy development process, or also known as the RDS PDP. WHOIS was created in the 1980s as a collection and publication of domain name registration data service by internet operators to be able to identify and contact individuals or entities responsible for the operation of a network resource on the internet. Although ICANN's requirements for domain name registration data collection, access, and accuracy for GTLD registries has undergone some important changes over the years, including, for example, registration data publication service specifications with a 2013 Registrar Accreditation Agreement, or RAA. The WHOIS policy itself and the underlying protocol have been subject of debate for nearly 15 years now. Comprehensive WHOIS policy reform remains a source of long-running discussion related to issues such as purpose, accuracy, privacy, anonymity, costs, policing, intellectual property protection, security, etc. To address these issues, the board launched an initiative back in 2012 to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and to consider safeguards for protecting data using the recommendations developed by the Expert Working Group, or EWG, on this topic as an input to, and if deemed appropriate, as the foundation for a new GTLD policy. The PDP working group that was created in response to the board request is tasked to define the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data, and in addition, consider safeguards for protecting that data. It's expected to answer these questions through a three-phased approach, the first one being the identification of fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data, without concern for the model that may be delivering such requirements. As part of this effort, it is expected to consider users and purposes, as well as associated access, accuracy, data elements, and privacy requirements. As mentioned on the previous slide, the working group is currently in phase one of its work, which focuses on identifying what are the fundamental requirements for GTLD registration data. Once the PDP working group has completed this inventory of fundamental requirements, It needs to ask the question whether a new policy framework and next generation RDS is needed to meet these requirements, or whether the current WHOIS policy framework can meet these requirements in its current form or with possible modifications. If the answer is that a new policy framework and next generation RDS is needed, the working group would move into the next phase of its work, which would focus on establishing such a new policy framework to support the identified requirements. Since the commencement of its work in January of this year, the working group has identified and summarized all relevant inputs in relation to this topic, from which it derived a long list of possible requirements. Currently, that list comprises over 1,000 possible requirements. In the next phase of its work, the working group is expected to review all of these possible requirements and determine which ones have the consensus support of the working group. In order to facilitate that work, the working group is now working on a statement of purpose for registration data and directory services, which is expected to underpin the deliberations on the possible requirements. At ICANN 57, the working group will have a face-to-face meeting on day one of the ICANN meeting, Thursday, the 3rd of November, which will be open to anyone interested to attend. And the working group is expected during that session to continue its deliberations on the purpose statement, as well as commence or continue its deliberations on possible requirements for RDS. If you're interested in this topic, you're encouraged to review the wealth of information that's available on the working group wiki space. There will be a dedicated page which will contain some suggested materials to help you prepare for the session at ICANN 57. And with that, I will hand it over to my colleague, Julie Hedlund.
Thank you, Marika. This is Julie Hedlund, and welcome, everyone. I'm based out of the Washington, D.C. office. And now I'd like to talk to you today about the new GTLD subsequent procedures policy development process. As you may be aware, there is this PDP that is on a new subsequent procedures, and this is taking into consideration the experiences from the 2012 round of the new GTLD program and determining if changes or updates need to be made to the new GTLD policy recommendations. It's important that we recall that there is existing new GTLD policy developed by the GNSO Council, which was approved by both the GNSO Council and the ICANN Board, and which serves as the basis for the 2012 round, and is still in effect unless the PDP determines that changes are needed. This PDP is one of many efforts that are directly or indirectly tied to new GTLDs, and I'll touch on this later again on another slide. So what should we expect at ICANN 57? This PDP working group will have a face-to-face session scheduled on Thursday, the 3rd of November, where it will be discussing a number of topics from its charter. And this is an open session, and all are welcome to participate. One of the co-chairs of the group will participate also in a session on new GTLD program reviews. And I'll note that the number of different subjects under consideration helps put into perspective how interconnected these many efforts are. Looking ahead then, the current status. The charter for this PDP working group contained 38 discrete subjects of varying levels of complexity, which serve as the basis for this working group's deliberations. This is a non-exhaustive list, and the working group may discover additional topics that require deliberations. A little bit about the overarching issues. In the charter, there are six topics that can be thought of as foundational and influential to many other subjects. The working group has already had in-depth conversations about these subjects and formally sought input from the supporting organizations, the advisory committees, stakeholder groups, and constituencies. The working group is now considering those inputs in developing preliminary conclusions, and the efforts are at varying levels of completeness. The work tracks. The remaining topics are split between four separate work tracks, each of which has its own set of co-chairs, and each work track has a handful of topics to more than 10. The work track co-chairs have selected topics that they intend to highlight at ICANN 57, where it will be helpful to get community input. Of course, they're obligated to consider all topics identified in the charter, but at this stage, each of the work tracks has only preliminarily considered a few of the subjects within their respective remits. And just very quickly on the work tracks, Work Track 1 is looking at the overall process support and outreach. Work Track 2 is looking at legal, regulatory, and contractual requirements. Work Track 3 is looking at string contentions, objections, and dispute mechanisms. And Work Track 4 is looking at IDN's technical and operational criteria. Community Comment 2. The working group has already sought input on overarching issues as mentioned above, and it's intending to seek community input on the topics within the work tracks, and it will consolidate the requests from the four work tracks to ease the burden on the community in responding. So there are some related efforts. As mentioned earlier, there are a number of efforts related to new GTLDs, and you see them on the slide here. The majority of these efforts will serve as inputs to the new GTLD PDP. For instance, findings from the CCTRT will drive discussions on relevant subjects. The CWG UCTN will impact discussions on geographic names. RPM's PDP will develop RPMs related to new GTLDs that will slot into the new GTLD program, and so on. The point of this slide is to show how many efforts are interconnected, and community liaisons between these groups and staff are communicating to make sure these various efforts are coordinated effectively. And now I'd like to turn things over to my colleague, Mary Wong. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julie. Hello, everybody. My name is Mary Wong, and together with Julie, Marika, and a few other members of our team, I support the Generic Name Supporting Organization, or the GNSO. It's my pleasure to talk to you today about the third major policy development process, or PDP, that the GNSO launched in the past year. And this is a review of all trademark-related rights protection mechanisms in all generic top-level domains. Before I go into some of the detail, I'd like to emphasize that we are talking not just about the new GTLD program, which was launched in 2012, and which many of you are familiar with, but also with the so-called legacy GTLDs, in the sense that there are rights protection mechanisms, also called RPMs, that apply to those legacy TLDs that will also be under review in this PDP. And so the other introductory remark I will make is that this is a fairly complex PDP that's expected to take quite some time so that the review can be completed and done thoroughly. Essentially, this PDP was started by the GNSO Council several months ago, and like some of the other PDPs, because of the scope of the work here, it will be conducted in two phases. I'll go into a little more detail about what's covered in each phase in the next slide, but essentially it would be helpful to know that phase one, which is the phase we are currently in, will cover all the rights protection mechanisms, or RPMs, that were developed just for the 2012 new GTLD program round. That will be followed by the second phase, which will focus on a long-standing consensus policy at ICANN, perhaps the oldest consensus policy we have at ICANN, which is the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy. As I said, this PDP working group is in full swing right now. So at ICANN 57, there will be an open working group meeting where all are welcome to attend. And I'd like to take this opportunity to encourage you to attend either in person or remotely if you can, as the working group will be seeking informal community input on at least one major milestone in its phase one work. At the moment, the focus in phase one is the trademark post-delegation dispute resolution procedure, which may actually be one of the lesser-known RPMs, but nevertheless, this is what the working group began with, and it hopes to complete at least an initial review of this rights protection mechanism at or around the time of ICANN 57, and that's one of the pieces of feedback that it will be seeking community impact, I apologize, input on. So if you're going to be preparing for ICANN 57 and this particular track of work, it will be very helpful for you to visit the Working Group Wiki page, which is here on the slide. And I note that my colleague Natalie has put in the chat that the presentations will be available at the link that she's inserted in the chat as well. So you can find a lot of documents from the working group related to phase one of the PDP, related to its ongoing work, and of course, the underlying charter that determines the scope of its work in both phases. As I mentioned, phase one and phase two cover different RPMs, with the current phase one focusing on the RPMs that were developed for the 2012 or the current new GTLD program expansion round. On this slide, what you might want to note are 2 points. One is the timeline for this PDP and when you might expect concrete deliverables from the working group. These are all estimated timeframes. There are a few dependencies, and of course, it does depend on how quickly yet thoroughly the working group gets on with the work. Essentially, we're looking to complete phase one. And again, that is all the rights protection mechanisms developed for the 2012 new GTLD program by, if not the end of 2017, certainly in the very early part of 2018. What's important to note here is that part of the direction from the GNSO Council was that before embarking on phase two, which is the longstanding uniform dispute resolution policy, the council requires that the working group publish a preliminary report on phase one as it ends, and that publication will be available for public comment. And of course, there will be the usual full and final report at the end of phase two that will look back on the entirety of the PDP as well as on what was covered in phase two. The other significant point I wanted to highlight for everyone today is something that Julie has already mentioned in her coverage of the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, and this is the need to coordinate all the various efforts that are running in parallel in relation to reviewing various aspects of the 2012 program round. And so this working group is not an exception to that rule. There is close coordination with the various other efforts underway, some of which are noted on this slide, including the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review Team, or CCT Review Team, and, of course, the ongoing independent review of the Trademark Clearinghouse. In addition to the various sessions that we'll be having at ICANN meetings, and of course, all meetings of all our PDP working groups, not just this one, are recorded and available for all to review, we will also be seeking input from many of the affected parties in our community throughout this PDP, and that would include, but not be limited to, registrars, registries, registrants, as well as providers of the different services. So to break down this PDP, in particular phase one, this slide shows you what the working group is anticipating to cover at different stages of its life cycle. And we've tied this to the various ICANN meetings as important progress milestones for this group. As I mentioned earlier, shortly after the ICANN 57 meeting next month, the working group hopes to complete its initial review of the trademark post-delegation dispute resolution procedure. It will then swing into its work on the Trademark Clearinghouse and the associated RPMs that are delivered through the clearinghouse, beginning with sunrise registration periods, going into claims notifications, and then wrapping up with the uniform rapid suspension procedure. And that hopefully will be completed in mid or late 2017, such that by the end of that year or next year, the phase one preliminary recommendations will be ready for presentation to and discussion by the community, such that following that, the phase one report can be published for public comment. And as I mentioned earlier, we will then move into the second phase of the PDP, the Uniform Dispute Resolution Policy. So as I noted, this is a fairly large scope. It will take some time. We welcome your feedback and, of course, your participation. And at this point, I'll hand you back over to Julie.
Thank you so much, Mary. And this is Julie Hedlund again. I'm going to highlight two other efforts that are underway, but just briefly. The first is the Genocide Review Working Group, and this group is tasked to develop an implementation plan for the Genocide Review recommendations that were recently adopted by the ICANN board. This group is in initial stages of developing a plan, and the target date is to complete this plan and deliver it next month to the Genocide Council, and it is due to be delivered to the board, then from the council, in December of this year. What to expect at ICANN 57? The working group will be meeting there to finalize the implementation plan. And here are some links that you can look to prepare for the events at ICANN 57 relating to the review working group. The next activity underway is the genocide rights and obligations under the revised ICANN bylaws and the work of the implementation drafting team. This drafting team was created in part to provide the Genocide Council with a draft implementation plan concerning any updates that may be necessary to the GNSO operating procedures or the ICANN bylaws coming out of the revision to the bylaws related to the IANA transition. And this drafting team has submitted the implementation plan to the GNSO Council on the 12th of October. The Council is considering the plan, and there is a motion to approve the plan before the Council at its meeting in Hyderabad at ICANN 57. The drafting team may also work with ICANN staff on the various steps concerning implementation in late 2016, early 2017. What to expect at ICANN 57. The drafting team may meet. Right now it is. There is a placeholder meeting on the schedule, although at this point it's not anticipated that the drafting team will need to meet in ICANN 57. For more information, you will see the link here on your slide. And now I would like to turn things over to my colleague again, Mary Wong. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and it's me again, stage two of the Julie and Mary portion of this presentation. I just wanted to give you a brief update on a recently completed policy development process from the GNSO, and this is for the accreditation of privacy and proxy services, where the GNSO Council chartered a working group to develop principles and guidelines that would assist in ICANN's development of such an accreditation program, which is something ICANN had already committed to. You see in the overview portion of the slide basically what this PDP covered, when its work was completed, and when the ICANN board approved the PDP recommendations, which took place a couple of months ago in August. And essentially, this PDP working group came to full consensus on over 20 principles and recommendations. So where we are is that we are now starting the implementation phase. This is expected to take some time because it is a fairly large endeavor to create a accreditation program. We have convened an implementation review team, or IRT, and as many of you know, IRTs are community-based teams that are now required by the GNSO unless there's an exceptional circumstance. And the role of an IRT is to work with ICANN staff to ensure that the implementation plan, as well as the scope of the implementation, does follow the intent of the policy recommendations that were adopted. There will be two sessions involving the IRT at ICANN 57. The first is actually an open community session that will be more of a presentation of the scope and the timelines involved in implementation, which currently is a staff presented plan to the IRT and under discussion, so community feedback on that draft plan will be very welcome. And the IRT will be holding its second meeting. It had its first meeting this past week. Its second meeting will also be at ICANN 57 a little bit later in the week. We have set up a wiki space for the IRT, including the draft plan, so I encourage you to review the PDP recommendations in preparation for these sessions at ICANN 57. And so this concludes the GNSO portion of the webinar, and we are now going to visit with the at-large and the at-large advisory committee and my colleagues Heidi, Ariel, and Sylvia.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much, Mary. I seem to have lost connectivity to the Adobe Connect, so if someone could change my slides as we go along, that would be appreciated. Again, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. My name is Heidi Ulrich. I'm the Senior Director for At-Large, and today I'm joined by two of my teammates, Ariel Liang, Policy Analyst, and Sylvia Bavenko, Manager At-Large Regional Affairs. We are delighted to give you a brief update on the activities of the At-Large Advisory Committee, or the ALAC, and the At-Large Community, consisting of the five regional at-large organizations and 210 at-large structures, or ALSs, that have taken place between the ICANN meetings in Helsinki and Hyderabad. We also will provide a preview of at-large activities that are being planned for ICANN 57. So if the slide could be moved to the ALAC activity between ICANN 56 and 57, please. The ALAC has focused on three main activities since ICANN 56. And the first one is the ICANN stewardship transition. After significant discussion, the ALAC revised its rules of procedure to ensure it was compliant with the new bylaws. The ALAC revised ROPs confirmed that the chair of the ALAC will be the ALAC representative on the ICANN Empowered Community Administration. Therefore, Alan Greenberg is currently the ALAC representative to the EC. Also, earlier in the summer, the ALAC confirmed that Mohammed El-Bashir would be the ALAC liaison to the Customer Standing Committee. The second area of activity is the at-large review, and the at-large review continues with ITEMS, the independent examiner, and conducting many interviews throughout the ICANN community. The at-large survey is currently open for a few more days until the 21st of October tomorrow. Their survey is available in English, Spanish, and French. Please take a few minutes to take the survey, and that link is available on the slide. And the third area of activity is the process for the seat 15 of the board has begun. The two groups, the Board Member Selection Process Committee, the BMSPC, and the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, the BCEC, have now started their activities for the seat 15, which is the board director selected by at-large. The BMSPC has responsibility of overseeing the entire selection process, including the election. And the chair of that is Tajani Benjamin. The primary responsibility of the BCEC is to identify applicants who would each make an excellent board director. Among its tasks, the BCEC shall clearly publish director eligibility requirements and expectations. And Ariel will say a little bit more about that shortly. And Julie Hammer is the chair of the BCEC. I will now hand it over to Ariel Liang to present an update on at-large policy advice development and policy briefing activities since ICANN 56, as well as the latest news related to the election process for the board director selected by at-large. Ariel?
Thank you very much, Heidi. This is Ariel Liang, policy analyst supporting the at-large community. Since the end of ICANN 56, the ALAC submitted four policy advice statements in response to ICANN public comment proceedings, and two of them are related to the new GPLDs and contracted parties. Regarding the proposed amendments to base new GPLD registry agreements, the ALAC advises that fee reduction must be subject to public consultation and comments addressing the public interest must be taken into account. And registries should continue reporting to ICANN any registration fee changes, and in the registry agreement, any implication that the use of dotless domains might be sanctioned through a registry service evaluation process must be removed. And finally, the ALAC emphasizes the need to make the public aware of discussion of registry agreement modification or the list of issues to be addressed when the process is ongoing. Regarding the GTLD Marketplace Health Index, the ALAC points out that the beta metrics for registrars and registries lack the differentiation and the focus on market take-up. To better reflect the competition, the ALAC suggests to add metrics that reflect market share, information density of TLDs, and registrants' use of domains. The ALAC would also like to see metrics that explain why certain registrars are voluntarily or involuntarily deaccredited. Lastly, the ALAC expresses strong support to the specified observations on the process around confusing similarity of ID and CCTLDs. The ALAC also strongly supports the projected FY17 improvements proposed in the ICANN Fellowship Program application process review. In addition to these policy advice statements, the at-large community has recently published two briefing documents in collaboration with ICANN policy staff. The at-large community policy issues why end users should care document provides an overview of 12 topics that at-large has been contributing input within ICANN, ranging from accountability and transparency of ICANN to who is and registration directory service. The document also explains why each issue is relevant or of concern to end users, with the aim to help more users understand the work of at-large and get involved in ICANN. At-large members have widely shared this briefing paper for outreach and capacity building purposes. It has also been shared with the ICANN board. As a related effort, a briefing paper focused on the hot topics for the European Regional At-Large Organization was also published. It discusses URALO members' contributions to various thematic topics such as jurisdiction and human rights in the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2, public interest within ICANN's remit, and improvements to the registrar data retention waiver request. This document was shared with the ICANN board and also with the European Commission Director General for Communications Network, Content, and Technology. The community will keep updating these two documents periodically to reflect the development of those topics. Other VELOs have also followed the example of URALO and started drafting their own hot topic briefing papers. To read the published ALAC advice, briefing documents, and other policy paper, please visit the policy advice section on the at-large website. Now I would like to share an important news. Yesterday, the application pool for the ICANN board director position, seat number 15, who is selected by the at-large community, just opened. At-large is seeking expressions of interest from now to Friday, November the 18th, 2016. The selected candidate will serve for a three-year term starting at the end of ICANN 60 in 2017. If you're interested in this position or know anyone who may be interested in applying, please contact program-admin@atlarge.icann.org. And for more information, please visit the wiki homepage of the selection committee on the slide, and we'll also type the URL in the chat. Now I will turn the floor back to Heidi, who will brief you on the highlights of at-large activities in ICANN 57. Heidi?
Thank you very much, Ariel. Hello, everyone, again. I'm now going to take you through the ALAC and at-large activities at ICANN 57 and then hand off to Sylvia for the RALO activities. So I'm going to divide these ALAC and at-large activities into three: policy, process, and outreach and engagement. Under policy, and the first is Workstream 2 issues. And here the ALAC and RALO leaders will review and discuss the nine topics within Workstream 2 in order to ensure broader understanding within at-large. There have been weekly calls of the At-Large Evolution Working Group to review these topics in the weeks prior to Hyderabad. Secondly, toward a consumer agenda, as Ariel mentioned, at the request of Steve Proctor during ICANN 56, The ELAC is working on developing an agenda for an ICANN focus on end users. They have held several briefings on this document and will work on it again during ICANN 57 with the aim of presenting it to the board. The third is the RDS PDP and the new GTLD PDP, coupled with the Competition Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review. An update will be given to at-large leadership, and discussion will be held with an aim to provide direction to those participating in the effort. Secondly, in the area of process, the at-large review, as mentioned earlier, the at-large review, which is focusing on the regional at-large organizations and the at-large structures, continues. During ICANN 56, ITEMS will be presenting its interim findings to at-large and continue its research in preparation for its draft report due early in December 2016. This meeting will take place on Thursday, the 3rd of November. Also, finally, the ALS criteria. Running parallel to the at-large review, the ALS criteria and expectations task force will provide an update on their work, which looks at both strengthening the criteria to become a certified ALS, as well as to encourage greater engagement among existing ALSs. And finally, under process, the fiscal year 18 preparation as part of the annual budget process, at-large will review the fiscal year 18 budget, including possible special requests. Under outreach and engagement, the Subcommittee on Outreach and Engagement is organizing a session with the next-gen students. This is, has the aim of increasing their understanding of the ALAC and at-large. APRELA will be holding a series of capacity-building sessions for APRELA members. There will be a focus on ICANN and at-large policy issues, as well as sustaining the knowledge gained. And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. And also, a joint APRELA Civil Society Showcase will take place on Sunday, the 6th of November, and Sylvia will be providing more details on that. At-large activities during ICANN 57, in terms of sessions, the ALAC and RELA leaders will be holding over 12 hours of face-to-face time. They'll be meeting with the board, the commercial stakeholder group, the country code name supporting organization, the governmental advisory committee, the registry stakeholder group, and the security and stability advisory committee. The incoming and continuing ALAC members and liaisons will be participating in an ALAC development session on the 9th, and there will be also a RELA development session on that same day. And the main ALAC room is Hall 1, and we very much look forward to welcoming you. In brief, given that ICANN 57 is the annual general meeting, the new ALAC will begin its term. This slide shows the members of the ALAC you will be working with during the 2016 and 2017 term. I would now like to hand the floor over to my colleague, Sylvia Vanko, who will provide an update on the activities of the RELA at ICANN 57. Sylvia?
Thank you very much, Heidi. Hello, everyone. I am Sylvia Vivanco, Manager at Large Regional Affairs, and I will present the RALO meetings and events in Hyderabad. AFRALO will hold the AFRALO African Joint Meeting on Monday, 7th November, on the theme Impact of the IANA Transition and ICANN Accountability on Africa. APRALO members will hold this monthly meeting on Sunday, 6th. LACRALO members will hold its meeting on 8th November. NARALO meeting will hold the year in review, which will take place on Sunday 6th. NARALOS will also launch the Tribal Ambassadors Pilot Project, addressing the digital divide throughout First Peoples communities in NARALO. This is a complement to the current ICANN Fellowship Program and is targeted at individuals who identify with or are part of an indigenous group in the U.S. and Canada. The first two tribal ambassadors are Valerie Fast Horse of the Coeur d'Alene tribe and April Tinghorn of the Indian Reservation located in the Grand Canyon area. For more information on this pilot project, please see the wiki page on the screen. And there will be cross-RALO meetings. All RALOs will hold the regional secretariat meeting on Saturday 5th. And this is a customary where RALO leaders meet to discuss issues where RALOs' collective input and action is required. The RALOs will also hold a development session, which is a team-building exercise to increase collaboration and to work more effectively as a virtual global team. and APRALO will have a series of activities at ICANN 57. APRALO will invite all the LSS representatives attending the meeting to take part in the APRALO Capacity Building Program. This program will feature a series of 4 capacity building sessions to take place on Saturday 5th through Tuesday 8th November from 12:45 to 13:45. The sessions will include basic knowledge on ICANN at large, including the policy development process and ICANN's unique bottom-up multi-stakeholder model of decision-making. There will be a focus on sustaining and growing the knowledge gained. Please see more information on the wiki page. And APRALO will be hosting a joint APRALO showcase and civil society event on the theme Celebrating Diversity and Diwali Festival on Monday, 7th November, between 18:30 and 19:45 in Hall 1. There will be cocktails and entertainment, so please come and join us. And thank you very much, and now I will turn it over to my colleague, Olof.
Thank you so much, Sylvia, and hello from Brussels. Time to talk a little about the Governmental Advisory Committee, frequently abbreviated GAC. And since the last meeting of ICANN in Helsinki, we have, with the help of our global engagement colleagues, have one new member join the GAC, notably Nepal. So, participation from the very highest level, altitude-wise. And with that, the GAC currently has 170 governments as members and 35 IGOs, intergovernmental organizations, as observers. And for Hyderabad, the GAC will be busier than ever. They have a very full agenda, starting already on the Tuesday and starting already on the Thursday and continuing all the way to Wednesday with sessions every day, including leadership elections, where notably there are 6 nominations for 5 vice chair seats, and the ICANN bylaws, the new ICANN bylaws, they call for adaptation of some GAC processes, which will take place during multiple sessions that are devoted to that topic. And of course, the GAC will also discuss a number of current issues, and those are topical sessions, almost evergreens, like the new GGLDs, registration of data services, and IGO acronyms, and more. The GAC working groups will be very, very active on their own right and also involved in many high-interest topic sessions. More on that shortly, but I want to highlight as well that the communique finalization will take place almost at the very end, during the Tuesday afternoon, and that session will be open, as is now the tradition within the GAC. So all the GAC sessions will be open. And with that, I would like to go to southern France, where Julia Charboulen will share some highlights of the program. So take it away, Julia.
Thank you, Olof, and hello, everyone. Among the GAC working groups, which will be meeting in Hyderabad, we have the GAC Human Rights and International Law Working Group. They will be meeting on Thursday from 11:30 to 12:30. The GAC Working Group will be discussing the development of the framework of interpretation of the human rights core value included in the ICANN bylaws within the CCWG accountability, and will also exchange information on other relevant developments mentioned in the Working Group's work plan. Another GAC Working Group which will be meeting in Hyderabad is the Underserved Regions Working Group. The Working Group will be meeting on Thursday from 9:30 to 10:30. In order to discuss and finalize their work plan with the objective to have it endorsed by the GAC by ICANN 57. Additionally, the GAC Underserved Regions Working Group will have an Asia-Pacific capacity building session on Sunday from 6:30 to 8 p.m. The meeting's purpose is for the AP members from ICANN to participate along with the Asia-Pacific GAC members in a capacity-building session in order to better understand the GAC's work, as well as interact with the GAC and the broader ICANN community so as to obtain a better understanding of the fields where ICANN needs Asia-Pacific members' contribution and participation. And lastly, the Underserved Regions Working Group co-chairs will be chairing the high-interest topic session on the underserved regions in ICANN on Monday from 5 to 6:30 p.m. This session will be a cross-community discussion, and they will explore and share possible initiatives that could assist underserved regions in ICANN. And finally, the GAC will also be meeting in inter-community sessions with the ALAC, the GNSO, the CCNSO, and the board. And with this, I will hand it over to my colleague, Fabien Détrémieux.
Thank you, Julia. I'm going to speak shortly about the GAC Geographic Names Working Group. Can we maybe move to the next slide? Okay, thank you very much. So, in here about the GAC's Geographic Names Working Group will build on its intersessional work since Helsinki, in particular in two areas. First, developing best practices for future rounds of new GTLDs, and this will be with a particular focus on principles applicable to names or acronyms with geographic significance, which may not qualify under geographic names as defined in the new GTLD applicant guidebook. In parallel, it will continue discussing public interest, in particular from the perspective of geographic names, and what that is really is analyzing existing contributions to the notion of public interest within ICANN and beyond today. For its part, the GAC Public Safety Working Group will engage the community in various settings, in addition to conducting its internal work and reporting to the GAC. So first, on abuse mitigation, it will host a high-interest topic session on this matter for the larger community to discuss industry best practices in particular. It will also continue engaging with contracted parties in dedicated GDD sessions that are related in particular to the development of the security framework for registry operators to respond to security threats. On WHOIS related initiatives, the PSBLG will host another high-interest topic for the community to discuss ongoing initiatives, and in particular from the perspective of key issues such as accountability and privacy. In addition to that, the PSBLG will be involved in various GNSO and GDD sessions that are related to the RDS-PDP, Registration Directory Services, as well as the Privacy and Proxy Services Accreditation implementation. Finally, Child Protection Online will feature high on the PSWG agenda in Hyderabad, and specifically in its working session, which is scheduled for Friday at 6:30 p.m. And to conclude this GAC update, when in Hyderabad, please come to all four of the venue for all GAC plenary and GAC working group meetings, where interpretation will be provided in the six UN languages plus Portuguese. I am now turning over to my colleague Andrew for an update on RSAC activities.
Thank you, Fabien. My name is Steve. I'll provide a quick update on the Root Server System Advisory Committee. The Root Server System Advisory Committee is organized as two bodies, the RSAC, which is composed of representatives of the Root Server operators, their alternatives, and liaisons. And the RSAC Caucus, which is the body of volunteer subject matter experts responsible for producing the bulk of the advice from the RSAC. If you're interested in joining the caucus, which currently has 77 technical experts, please email with your statement interest to the address below. Next, I want to highlight three reports that the RSAC recently published. The first one published on June 28th. The root server operators via RSEC published a statement reiterating their commitment to serve the IANA global DNS namespace. In this statement, the root server operators also support the integrity protecting protocols such as DNSSEC. This is an important commitment because the root servers are the entry points to the DNS system, as in the absence of other information, resolution for the domain name system starts at a root server. The next statement published on September 8 addressed the issue and often asked question of what happened to the root name service as a whole when one of the root servers go offline, either due to error or to attack. And the RSEC concluded by reviewing relevant evidence that the loss of a single root server will not cause immediate stability issues to the system and the internet that depends on it. This is because there's a high-level redundancy of the system that guarantees the availability and resiliency of the service, because the DNS also provides resiliency by allowing multiple authoritative name servers to serve a zone. Currently, there are over 600 Anycast instances throughout the world serving the root zone. And second, caching based on the advertised time-to-live values reduce the query load to root servers and limits the effects of the outage. The third statement, which relates to the GNSO PDP on new GTLDs that was published just this week, that the RSEC provides feedback to the PDP that if future plans for the expansion of top-level domain namespace are consistent with the past expansion program, the RSEC does not foresee any technical issues. However, they want to be consulted should the rate of expansion changes significantly or new resource record types are introduced to the root zone. Second, they recommend the root zone management partners post the transition, that will be IANA and the root zone maintainer, and root server operators to implement a coordination procedure so that the server operators can notify ICANN in the event of stress on the root name service. Next, I'll hand over to Carlos to talk about current work and RSEC activities at ICANN 57.
Thanks very much, Steve. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes. Just a quick overview of current work items within the Root Server System Advisory Committee. The RSEC is completing work on a document that essentially captures the history of the Root Server System. This includes contributions from the Root Server operators themselves on the history of their operations. There's also a work party that is wrapping up work on root server naming scheme, and this document captures the technical history of the names assigned to individual root servers since the creation of the root server system, and it also considers potential changes to the current naming scheme, among other topics. And another document that is also in the RSEC process is the key technical elements of potential root operators. This document essentially looks at technical requirements that root operators should maintain if they are considering operating a root. And this traces some of that the elements that root operators and members of the caucus have determined are important in this work. And finally, the caucus has just started the process of initiating a working group that explores the distribution of anycast instances. So a lot of substantive work happening in the caucus, specifically within issues related to root server system and root server system evolution. Just quickly highlighting some sessions at ICANN 57. Of course, the RSEC will have its public meeting and tutorials that have become standard at ICANN meetings, providing overviews of root server operations. But something I specifically want to highlight is the caucus meeting. This will be the first meeting of the RSEC caucus at an ICANN meeting. They typically meet at IETF meetings. So this is a good development, and caucus members will be in attendance to discuss their current work and engage with the ICANN community. And from here, we move on to the FSAC.
Thank you, Carlos. Let me provide also a quick update on the FSAC. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee published two documents since ICANN 56. The first one is a comment on the CCNSO process, on the extended process for similarity review panel. As my colleague Bart mentioned earlier, the contribution here from the FSAC is it articulates and reiterates three core principles concerning the inclusion of TLD labels in the root zone: the conservation principle, the inclusion principle, and the stability principle. Because of the unique nature of the root zone as compared to other public zones. The second report is the FSAC comment on the proposed amendments to the new GTLD registry agreement. Very similar to the ALAC comment on this topic, the FSAC reiterates its stance that provisions for .lis domains should be explicitly prohibited in the GTLD agreement. For ICANN 57, I want to highlight three activities. DNSSEC for workshop. This is a kind of beginner overview of DNSSEC, very fun with skits. This will be on November 4th. The regular DNSSEC workshop will be on 7th of November, and the FSAC public meeting is on the 8th of November. With that, I'll hand over to my colleague to discuss cross-community efforts.
Thank you, Steve. Hello, everybody. This is Mary Wong again. And in this concluding substantive section of the webinar, we are going to give you a brief update on three cross-community working groups that we thought would be of interest to the community, starting with this very long one, a cross-community working group on a framework of principles for future cross-community working groups, which has thankfully, through the efforts of our co-chairs, Becky Burr from the CCNSO and John Barat from the GNSO, been affectionately abbreviated, as many know, to CWG squared. And the update from this group is that we are going to be bidding CWG squared a very grateful and affectionate goodbye, because this group has completed its work. It has developed a framework that they believe is a final framework that includes many principles and guidelines that the two chartering organizations, the CCNSO and GNSO councils, hopes can be used across the community to guide the initiation, chartering, operations, as well as closure for all future cross-community working groups. The final framework has been sent to both the chartering organizations, and we have a link in the slide for you to review what those principles are. And so following approval by both councils, all supporting organizations and advisory committees will be advised of the existence of this framework, and hopefully it will be helpful as the community embarks on more cross-community efforts, one of which you will hear about shortly. But we'll move on first to the next cross-community effort on new GTLD auction proceeds, and back to you, Marika.
Thank you very much, Mary. Let's just move to the
Next slide. As many of you may know, auctions were chosen as the mechanism of last resort to resolve string contention within the new GTLD program. However, most string contentions have been resolved through other means before reaching an auction. Nevertheless, significant funding has accrued as a result of the several auctions that have taken place. These proceeds have been reserved and earmarked and currently stand at over $200 million US dollars. Community discussions on this topic started back at ICANN 52 and resulted, amongst others, in a discussion paper that preceded the creation of a drafting team consisting of representatives from most ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees, which was responsible for developing a proposed charter for a cross-community working group tasked with developing proposals on mechanisms to be developed in order to allocate new GTLD auction proceeds. Note, it's important to understand that the CCWG, or the Cross Community Working Group, will not make recommendations or determinations with regards to specific funding decisions. For example, you know, which specific organizations or projects are to be funded or not. A first draft of this charter was reviewed and discussed during ICANN 56 during one of the cross community sessions that took place there. The drafting team then took great care to review and address all the comments that it received, which then resulted in a proposed charter. This proposed charter reflects the discussion that the drafting team held and the review of the comments and the compromises that were agreed to as a result. The proposed charter was then submitted to the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees last month, with a question to identify any pertinent issues that would prevent adoption of the charter. Furthermore, a webinar was organized to allow for a walkthrough of the charter as well as addressing any possible questions. As no pertinent issues were identified, the drafting team has now submitted the proposed charter for the cross-community working group to the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees for their consideration. It's the expectation that some groups may consider the charter for adoption during ICANN 57. Once a charter has been adopted by two or more SOs or ACs, the cross-community working group will be formed by launching a call for volunteers. In addition to members appointed by chartering organizations, the CCWG will also be open to anyone that is interested to participate on this topic. Tentatively, a session has been scheduled on this topic. The drafting team will, however, decide closer to the date whether there is a need for this session, for example, to brief potential volunteers for the CCWG on the charter and expectations, or whether it would actually be premature to hold such a session. So if you're interested in this topic, please keep a close eye on the schedule to see whether the session will take place or not. And with that, I'll hand it back to Emily.
Thanks, Marika. My name is Emily Barabas. I'm a policy specialist supporting policy processes on the GNSO side, and I'm based in Amsterdam, the Netherlands. The Cross-Community Working Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names as Top-Level Domains seeks to review issues related to the use of country and territory names as top-level domains, building on the work of the CCNSO Study Group on the Use of Country and Territory Names, which came before it. More specifically, this group has been tasked with investigating the feasibility of developing a uniform policy framework that can be applied across all top-level domains. I'll first touch on the scope and status of work for this group and then discuss what can be expected for ICANN 57. The treatment of geographic names has been discussed in a number of ICANN processes and bodies, so it's first important to highlight that this cross-community working group is chartered to address only country and territory names as top-level domains. The methodology of work for this group consists of three parts. First, two-letter representations of country and territory names in the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO 3166-1 Alpha 2 Standard. Next, three-letter representations of country or territory names in the ISO 3166-1 Alpha 3 Standard, Alpha 3 Standard. And finally, the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. First, the CWG reached preliminary consensus in support of maintaining the status quo on two character codes as exclusively reserved for country code TLDs. Next, turning to three character codes, the group had extensive discussions on the issue of three character codes, and after identifying a divergence of views, conducted a survey of supporting organizations and advisory committees, as well as holding a cross-community session at ICANN 56 to gather further input. It became clear through these conversations and outreach efforts that there was a wide range of views on this topic, and therefore consensus was not achievable on the issue of three-character codes. The group did not progress to considering country and territory names. Preliminarily, the group has found that it is not feasible within a limited mandate to develop a consistent and uniform definitional framework that could be applicable across the respective supporting organizations and advisory committees defining rules for the use of country and territory names as top-level domains. In light of these developments, the Cross-Community Working Group has been working on two documents. First, the CWG is in the process of finalizing a progress report that will outline accomplishments to date, issues identified, and direction of travel for the group. The group is planning to release a draft of this report for community feedback prior to ICANN 57. The progress report will feed into a second document, which is currently being drafted. The second document is the group's interim report, which provides more extensive background information on the issue area, a full summary of the group's activities and accomplishments, and a discussion of the direction of travel for the group. The interim report will be subject to public comment period and will become the group's final report. Now looking ahead to ICANN 57, there will be an open face-to-face working session on the 5th of November to continue discussion on the direction of travel for this group. And the focus of that session will be on further developing the draft interim report and discussing possible recommendations for future work. Information about the cross-community working group will also be presented during the session on new GTLD program reviews. If you're interested in this topic to prepare for ICANN 57, you can review the group's charter and also read the draft reports that are going to be posted shortly. And I will put the, in the chat, I'll put the page, the wiki page for you to reference. And we look forward to seeing you in Hyderabad. Now I'll turn it back over to Benedetta for a question and answer segment of this webinar. Thanks.
Thank you, Emily. This is Benedetta again, and I'll be handling the question and answer session, followed by a couple of updates. So if you'd like to ask a question from the audio bridge, please press star one and record your name. Or alternatively, as Mary has pointed out in the chat, please just type the questions in the chat preceded by question, and we'll read the questions out for you. While we wait for any questions to come through, I'll just turn the slide over to a question that we received prior to the webinar during the RSVP process. We received some other questions which are not on the slide because they were actually taken care of during the webinar itself. So the question that we previously received was, can you provide an update regarding the community process to define global public interest as it pertains to ICANN's mandate? And here you have some information about a session and its goals and objectives from the Development and Public Responsibility Department at ICANN that will take place in Hyderabad. And there's further relevant documentation on global public interest on the slide itself, so you'll be able to click on the links if you're interested to learn more about this topic. Operator, do we have any questions from the audio?
We have no questions right now.
Thank you very much. If you have any other questions following the webinar or would like to stay updated with the policy team, please use the team email address, policy-staff@icann.org, and you can also follow us on Twitter using the handles that are shown on the slide. If you're new to the policy development process but would like to join a GNSO working group, you'll be interested in the two newcomer sessions, which are held at the start of every PDP working group. This is a communication tools classroom webinar, which is led by staff to learn about the working group tools and to ask questions, and a working group newcomer webinar, which is community-led, whose focus is helping newcomers familiarize themselves with the policy development process and better understand how to engage within the GNSO working group setting. The next sessions will take place in November, and the dates are to be confirmed. There will also be a policy development process webinar, which will take place in November as well. And this webinar will be aimed at all ICANN community members who wish to have a better understanding of the role of the policy development process within the GNSO and within ICANN as a whole. And in preparation for ICANN 57, don't forget to download your ICANN 57 mobile application to access meeting information on the go, personalize your meeting schedule, and connect with fellow attendees, and post feedback on the sessions that you attend. To help attendees prepare for the Hyderabad meeting, a pre-ICANN 57 policy forum report will be policy meeting report will be posted as of October 25th on the ICANN 57 meeting page, and on the policy development presentation page, whose link is on the slide. The report will provide attendees further information on what to expect at ICANN 57 and updates from the various SOs and ACs, sorry, supporting organization and advisory committees. And after the meeting, we'll release a post-ICANN 57 report, including results and outcomes of the meeting. And this will be posted in mid-November. I will now turn it back over to David Olive for his closing remarks. Thank you very much, and over to you, David.
Thank you very much, Benedetta, and all for participation in this webinar. We hope it was an informative and useful preparation as we begin our plans and travels to Hyderabad. To the point that Susan Payne raised in the chat about the high-interest topics, this was a collaborative effort with the supporting organization and advisory committee leadership, those who were dealing with the planning for ICANN 57. There were initially, each group was asked to suggest topics. There were initially 17 topics suggested, and this was narrowed down to the 8 that were accepted or will be presented in India. The issue, of course, as always, is a challenge of trying to make sure that this fits in with all the other activities and high level of interests in other matters in addition to the topics presented. And this is a challenge for everyone, the community leaders, the meetings team, and our policy team. And it's something that we understand. We don't always like it. But this was the best compromise we could get, considering other schedules and priorities given by the SOs and the ACs. So I understand that. We will endeavor to do that in a better fashion going forward. And, in fact, we will have, toward the end of this year, a review of the new meeting strategy, the formats and things like this that the community can comment on and give us feedback, which we value. Similar to the Helsinki feedback on the policy forum, we think this is a very useful and helpful guide to forming the meetings that are useful and helpful to you, the community, and your work in face-to-face meetings. So thank you very much. With that, we are near our time allotted. We want to not keep you any longer. But the other innovation that I would like to bring to your attention that we started in the Helsinki policy forum was to have a pre-policy update paper and a post-ICANN 57 policy paper that talks about the developments, the progress, and activities made in the policy development and advice development activities. And so please stay tuned for that. We will circulate that on various lists when it comes out next week on the 25th of October. And we hope to make sure that that's another useful guide to all of you as you prepare. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for their participation, and we look forward to seeing you either in person or online to participate remotely at ICANN 57 in Hyderabad. With that, I wish everyone a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you very much.